you'll be surprised how many connections, you know, people have to other people. So I just try to treat every opportunity like it's my last, and I try to treat it like, you know, as professional as I can.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. I have some big news. Episode 50 is coming. It's going to be an 8 to 9 hour live stream. Yes, it's going to be crazy. Tons of awesome guests. A bunch of giveaways. It's just going to be a big celebration to celebrate this great milestone, 50 episodes into this podcast. So go to dpcreates.com to learn more. You don't want to miss it. dpcreates.com, episode 50, coming to you live. Now, this week's episode. All right, I want to welcome Jerran Ratchford on the Passion Behind the Art Show. An epic saxophonist, and I'm excited to have him on the show. Jerran, welcome.
What's going on, man?
All right, let's kick it off. How did this love for music start, bro? All
right, so pretty much you just grew up, just growing up in the house. I'm sure like every black family knows, you know, your parents gonna grow up and you cleaning up on Saturdays and your parents playing the music, you know, playing the old records and stuff. So just really just hearing all that music. I know my family's like really in the church and gospel and everything. Mm-hmm. My mom was like the choir director, you know, so I had to play in church and everything like that. So just really taking in all of that. Mm-hmm. And hearing all of that different type of music, that just really made me fall in love with it. And yeah, man, I just that's it pretty much. Just
so, around what age was that? Around what age would you say like you actually said, okay,
I want to be a musician?
Yeah,
probably around fifth sixth grade.
Okay.
Yeah, I always had a love for it. Didn't really think I was going to do it. Honestly, to be honest, only reason I did it was because all the cool kids was in the band at that time. Because that was around the time, you know, when like, you know, you picking your classes from middle school and everything like that. So I'm like, all the cool kids going to band, I'm about to get in the band. So, and you know, and I already had the love for music anyway. So, you know, I didn't think I was going to play anything. But, you know, ended up picking up that horn, man.
So why the sax?
So I kind of got thrown into the sax. I wanted to play the trumpet.
Gotcha.
I always tell you that I wanted to play the trumpet. My mom was being cheap, because my uncle played sax in high school, but he never went anywhere with it. Like, he just played in high school and it was just kind of sitting around the house. And my mom was just like, you know, if you want to be in the band, you're gonna have to play the saxophone. Cause I'm not about to buy you a trumpet. So I kind of got thrown into it. Honestly, didn't even like it at first.
Oh, for real?
I was trash. Like, I was like last chair and everything. And I don't know, man. I just started practicing, like just practicing and practicing. Just by playing, I actually started listening to a lot of saxophones, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it just came into it. I just got a love for it. Went from last year to first chair, and you know, it's been that way ever since. So,
okay, that's what's up. So, yeah. When someone hears Jerran's music, what do you want them to experience?
So, man, I just really feel like as musicians, we really have a power that other people don't really possess, and that power is like we can affect your emotions. Like, we can change emotions. If I play a song, I can make you feel happy. I can play a song and it can make you think of the saddest day of your life, you know? So it's that power. I feel like we really have to, you know, keep that in mind. So I say it to say, whenever I play, I just want you to, I don't really want you to feel a certain thing, but I want you to feel something. Like, I want you to feel, I want it to take you somewhere. I want you to think about that time when you know, when you got your first kiss, or the time when, you know, when the girl dissed you or whatever, or something like that. You know, I want you to have that feeling that you something, because it's nothing worse than just hearing music and it's not taking you anywhere. You know what I mean? Mm. So, you know, that's the main thing. And I mean, a lot of the songs that I know growing up, like, I can remember, like, where I was when I heard them, you know, right, or right. I just want you to remember that, like, have that memory. Like, when you hear me, like, I remember him. Like, he played that song. I was there. I was with this girl. I had this on. I was fresh. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much it, man.
So in saying that, what would you say was your, like, best musical moment?
My best musical moment. It's really simple, man. I played, it was, what's the name of that song? Amazing Grace. Yeah, it was Amazing Grace. Played Amazing Grace, and this girl came up to me, and she was like, she wasn't crying, but you could tell she was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, emotional about it. And I mean, it was at church. It was just a regular church performance, because my mom made me play at church, threw me in there or whatever. But the fact that she came up to me and said the way that I played that song made her think of her grandmother. It was her grandmother's favorite song. And, you know, it really touched her. So, like, the fact that I think that was my first time somebody had ever came up to me and told me, like, yo, like, you did something that really affected me. And I think that was, like, that I always would have that memory of, you know, of her coming up to me doing that.
All right. So I heard you talk about your mom. Like, kind of tell me a little bit about, like, the people you would say kind of got you where you are today, your support system, the people you bring energy from, the people that influenced you, like, that's actually in your life.
Man, definitely my family. My mom's like my biggest fan. Of course, she did. And, you know, I have two younger brothers. They're fans, but kind of they're like my motivation too. Mm. I try to show them, like, you know, I'm from a small town. I'm from Shelby, North Carolina, like the smallest town ever. Like, they eat after 10 o'clock, stuff like, you know, you can't go anywhere. One Walmart, you know, and that's the only, like, the mall has like nothing in it. So,
oh man,
and just growing up here, it's kind of like you don't really see too much. You don't see the world outside, out, you know, anything past here, really. So, you know, I just kind of want to show them, like, that, you know, there's more out here.
That's true.
And, of course, my friends, man. A lot of my friends I met in college, you know, they all got different things going on, whether it's, you know, videography, directing, you know, in school, just different things. But, you know, we all pushing each other to kind of do our thing. So, you know, everybody I've been around has pretty much been real supportive with me. And, you know, as I'm going through this journey, trying to get to where I'm trying to get. So, and I mean, I'm really at the point right now in life where it's like, if you're not with me, like with what I'm trying to do, then, you know, I don't really have time for it. So, you know, I'm just like kind of tunnel vision right now.
I feel you. So what would you say was the hardest part? Well, like, the biggest struggle you had to go through and even trying to get to where you are right now?
The hardest part is actually taking that initial risk to go and do it. Mm. You know, a lot of people say, a lot of people have ideas, you know, but they never start them, and they'll never go along with it, or they'll start it and they never finish it. Mm. And I mean, you know, doing what I'm doing, it's against the grain. It's against the grain because, you know, you're told to go to school, go to college, get a job, and everything's going to be fine. And, you know, I did that. I went to school, went to Winston-Salem State University, got a degree in business. I wasn't even a music major. Got a degree in business because it was safe. Had a little corporate job. And, man, I would just be sitting in that job every day just thinking, like, you know, my boss coming over here yelling at me. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, you don't even know me. Like, you don't know what I do. Like, I felt like Superman, low-key. Like Clark Kent. Like, I'm Clark Kent in here. And y'all don't know I'm really Superman, but I am. Like, so I think just, and I mean, I ended up leaving that job. And that's what kind of, like, really, once I left my job, everything just started falling into place. Mm. So, and I'm a real spiritual guy, so I just feel like faith without works is dead. So, you know, if you can have a dream, you can have all that stuff. If you're not actually going for it, then you're not going to do anything. You're going to be in the same position you are. So I think that, back to your question, that was the hardest thing, was like thinking to myself, like, okay, I don't have it. If I do music full time, then, you know, I'm going to have to gig more. I'm not going to have that steady check coming in every day. You know, I'm not going to have this. And it's just all that fear, you know. So it's just getting over that. Because actually, once I got past that, everything's been smooth sailing, man. It's just that fear.
So what did you do? Did you, like, turn it off? Like, what did you do?
Now, honestly, I just got fed up with it. Like, I just got fed up. Like, I was sitting around at a job. My boss come arguing at me. And I'm thinking to myself, because I was still gigging. I never stopped playing. I never stopped doing anything. So I just felt like I was living a double life. And I was just, you know, my boss coming over talking to me. And I'm like, I just came back from Made in America. And you yelling at me like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I'm a regular guy right here. You know what I mean? So it's just, I just got fed up with it, man. That's I can't really explain it. And I prayed about it. And, you know, I just felt like it was time.
I feel you, man.
I don't really have it wasn't really a certain thing that made me do it. It's just, I just felt like it was time to make that decision.
Yeah. So you just did it.
I just did it, man.
I feel you, man. Sometimes that's how it is. Sometimes that's how it is. So now you're on your own, doing your thing. Like, how are you? What's your main way of getting gigs?
Curious. Honestly, it's word of mouth, really. Word of mouth, and I mean, of course, like social media and things like that. But the way you act on the gigs, like your professionalism, stuff like that. So that carries you a lot further than your playing ability. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot of gigs just because people say, you know, he shows up on time, or he knows his music, and you'd be surprised. You have like the best musicians who come to stuff and just, you know, not be ready for the gig. So, you know, that, and then just, you know, going places and meeting people, networking, that really helps a lot. Like the whole, I play for Rhapsody. I'm MD for Rhapsody. The whole reason I met her was just because I met somebody who showed me, you know, I said, I have this artist that I want you to play for. I didn't even know who it was going to be. And then it comes up being, you know, them. So it's really about networking and just finding that. So, I mean, and they'll just start coming in. It'll get to a point where, you know, your name will start getting passed around. People start talking good about you. And, you know, it'll start coming in. Because people think the world's really big, but it's really small. Everybody knows everybody is what I'm starting to figure out. So
at some point, there's going to be some kind of connection.
Yeah, is that like, what is it, 6 degrees separation? 6, 7 degrees, something right. Like that? That's real. Like, because, I mean, you'll be surprised how many connections, you know, people have to other people. So I just try to treat every opportunity like it's my last, and I try to treat it like, you know, as professional as I can. That way, you know, get other gigs.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I like that, man. I like your energy, man. I like how you're going about it. I'm really feeling it, man. So who would you say some of your musical heroes are?
So I listen to everything, man. So I'm really influenced, honestly, by hip-hop. Like, hip-hop is, like, my main influence. You know, a lot of saxophone players, you know, say jazz and everything. I'm a jazz head, but I'm a hip-hop head, like, more than I'm even a jazz head. So definitely, like, Tribe Called Quest. Okay. I love how they, like, you got these, you know, Freddie Hubbard samples, you know, over these break beats that they done found. You know, like, Q-Tip is crazy, like, crazy with the beats or whatever.
Right.
So Tribe Called Quest, Jay-Z, Nas, you know, all the new stuff, J. Cole, Kendrick, all that stuff. As far as jazz heroes, my number one person is Kenny Garrett.
Okay.
Not Kenny G, but Kenny Garrett. You know, Kenny Garrett he's like the guy to me. Just you can feel like just like everything he's trying to get you to feel out of that horn. Like, you feel the pain, the struggle, you feel all of that out of that horn. Like, and his sound is just so, like, his sound is amazing. I've heard, you hear all these saxophone players But if you hear Kenny Garrett, you can tell his horn, his sound, out of any other saxophone player. Mm. Like, you just know. And he just does stuff like he'll just play like one or two notes. The fact that he'll play one or two notes and just stay on that one or two notes and have you locked in on that one or two notes. Like,
that's
just,
what's up.
Yeah, he's dope, man. So Kenny Garrett, John Coltrane, of course. Charlie Parker, Cannonball. I mean, all the greats. Those are all my heroes. Even like young people, like, I mean, like Chance the Rapper, people like that. People, because the fact that he did it by himself without a label, without,
right,
you know,
right,
any of that.
Right.
So, you know, I look at, I'm not the type of person, like, who looks like your age or anything like that. You could be the youngest person in the world. Cause he, I mean, Chance the Rapper's younger than me. But just the fact that what he's doing, you know, that's heroic to me. To say, no, I don't need a label. To still turn down labels at the point you are now. So, yeah.
So what advice would you have for musicians?
The advice that I have for musicians is to make sure, number one, just know yourself. Know what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. Have boundaries. Know, you know, what your worth is. Know your worth, because a lot of times people try to devalue what you're doing, mm-hmm, and say just because it's an art, right, when really, you know, I feel like any other job, like, doctors get paid so much because they know how to do things that other people don't know how to do. You know, that's really right why they're getting paid so much. So I feel like as an artist, you know, we know how to do things that other people don't know how to do. Right. So, you know, you have to remember that, you know, and remember you keep your integrity as a musician. Two, just like I said before, just be professional. Be professional. Be on time. Be on time. Like, being on time will save you so much trouble. Like, just be on time. And when I say on time, be early. You know what I mean?
Right,
be early,
right,
and be ready to start. And three, just, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Like, put yourself in vulnerable situations. Put yourself in situations where, you know, you feel uncomfortable, because it's going to come up. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I mean, practice. Like, better your craft, you know. But, I mean, hopefully, you know, you're already doing that. So,
if somebody wants to learn about Jaron, where can they go to find you?
I have a website, JaronRaxford.com. You can follow me on Instagram at sax.love.money. So my Instagram, I'm pretty heavy on my Instagram, so that's pretty much where you'll find pretty much everything. Pretty much any social media outlet, Jaron Raxford. My name is pretty unique, so you'll find it.
All right.
And then I, of course, you know, I play with, like, I tour at Rhapsody. I'm MDing for her, so I'll be always on her shows most of the time. You'll see.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. It was good talking to you. And, man, I hope this is just the beginning, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'll keep in touch for sure. Always willing to cross paths. You know what I mean? Always willing to build relationships, as you said. That's all it's about, man.
Yeah, that's really, bro. Like, that's how the world runs, man. I'm starting to learn that the more and more I do this, that's the way the world runs, bro. Relationships.
For sure. Well, man, I'm going to let you go. Thanks again for coming on, bro. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Appreciate it, bro. All
right. Blessings, bro. All
right, man. Peace.
I want to say thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at DP Creates on Instagram or Twitter. And please leave me a review on iTunes, because that helps the podcast to grow. Thanks again. Be blessed.